Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you once again for giving me the privilege to worship with you guys this morning. I do feel worthy to bring the word of God to you guys. And also, I feel that the fact that you guys have me back, I would be doing something right, or you guys are having pity for this young man who's trying to exercise his gifting. So I appreciate you guys for continually giving me the opportunity to share the word of God with you guys. And so this passage that I'm going to be speaking from, reading the word of God, it is something that I'm working through in my own personal life. When it goes to me, I am not very sympathetic because of my upbringing, how I grew up. And so the fact that Jesus sympathizes with us, for me, is a very, very hard concept to learn, to figure out, to accept. Not to accept, but to really hold it into my own personal heart. So this passage is working in my own heart. I'm still trying to figure out, and I'm trusting that the Lord is going to continue to work in my own heart and to soften my heart to help me to sympathize with Him, with others, and to be able to understand that we all have different paths of life and just try to figure things out. And so before I continue, I want to pray, and then we're going to read the passage. Let's take time. Thank you, Jesus, and Heavenly Father. We thank you so much that you are Lord, you are God, who have gone through the heavens and have accomplished everything possible for us to have a relationship with you and with the Father. We thank you so much that you mediate and you understand us weaknesses and you are there in our times of need. So, Father God, I just pray, Lord, in my own heart and the heart of this congregation, that, Lord, that you will work, that you will reveal yourself in the scripture and help us, oh God, to see how you love us and be careful. In the name of so Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
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 The passage of scripture is going to be from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. If you're able to stand in the middle of the word of the Lord, will you please join me in reading God's word? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Says, then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You may be seated in the word of the Lord. I'm going to present three scenarios. The first one is this. My son Zion is 17 months old. 17 months old. And he's at a stage right now of his life. He's a toddler. You know, if you have been around toddlers, if you have raised toddlers, you know how they can be. They get in places, they are very curious, and they want to explore everything. And we try to allow him to explore. We want him to learn. Well, there are certain things that we want him to stay away from. We want to stay away from the cabinets. We want him to stay away from the toilets. We want him to stay away from areas that that can be damaging to him, dangerous to him. But he don't always listen. So often we have to discipline him. And so when we discipline him, one of the things that I notice that he does right away is that he runs straight into the arms of the one who has disciplined him. He runs into my arms. When I discipline, when my discipline, he runs into arms. Because in that moment in time where he feels discomfort, he needs comfort. He's drawing near to us right away because he knows that we still love him. We still care for him. Another scenario. If you have been, you have had a friend in your life, maybe you got into a disagreement with a friend, and now you not really see that eye to eye. And then somebody has to come in between and tell them, hey, you guys, you seem like you care for each other. Somebody has to come in between and try to mediate to resolve the situation. Well, I don't want to talk to you. But there's a person in between who try to do the best to try to mediate. I had a best friend, one of my best friends growing up. We got into a fight. And I didn't want to talk to him. But we wanted to talk to each other, but our pride and our ego was getting in our way. So we was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be the first one. He's on the wrong, I'm on the wrong. And, you know, we didn't want to get talk. So somebody has to come in and, hey, you guys care for each other. And so they mediated. Let's fast forward into adulthood. There's time in our personal life where, you know, we talk about Thanksgiving. There's sometimes that there's some family situation, family feud. We don't, you know, we just happy to gather together at the table, and sometimes there are some situations that are never resolved among family, right? So we go through stages in our life as children. We run right away to the person that we feel discomfort. But then we get to a point where it's like, somebody got to mediate. And it gets to a point sometimes where no kind of mediation, there's no resolution in our life. There's no resolution with friends or family. And so this passage that right here that I'm seeking to share and speak about, it's one in which no matter our circumstances, no matter our situation, no matter how far we have gone from the presence of God, no matter how bad or no matter doubts or fear of things that we experience in our own life, we can never be too far from God. We can never find ourselves in a situation where it can never be resolved. The situation can always be resolved because we have a great high priest. So my purpose in this morning, in this passage, is to show us that we have a great high priest who sympathizes with our weakness and is ready to help us in our times of need. Therefore, let us boldly to go to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace. We have a high priest who sympathizes with us, with our weaknesses. So therefore, let us boldly go to the throne of grace to receive help in our times of need. So this is from Hebrews. So there's going to be four points. The fourth point is the application. What is it that we have to do? The first point is the responsibility of the earthly high priest. Second point is the greater high priest. The third point is the priest who understands our weaknesses. And lastly, as a point of application, the priest who meets us where we are and helps us in our times of need. So the first point, the early high priest, the early priest. So if you are familiar with the Old Testament, if you're familiar with the book of Hebrew, the book of Hebrew is seeking to present Jesus as bad. If you want to summarize the book of Hebrew in one sentence, Jesus is better. Jesus is better than the angel. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than Aaron. Jesus is better than David. Jesus is better. And so during this book, me and my wife just finished kind of going through the book of Hebrew. Just we read through it, we were talking to him. We started to notice that. And what was happening, the writer is noticing that there are some believers who are unsure, who are wavering in their faith, who are doubting, who are, man, is this really what the Christian faith is supposed to be? Because during that time, they started to experience persecution. There were some Jews who were being converted, who heard the word, but they're like, man, maybe we need to go back to our traditional way of living, because the old people were persecuting them. So the writer of the Hebrew decided to write this book and present a detailed argument as why Jesus is better, and then also present the chapters of faith. Presented that even from your own group, Abraham, Isaac, all of these guys,
recognized even before Jesus came into earth that Jesus is better. So it's right in them to present as Jesus is better. I'm not saying that we don't have types of challenges. We do. This is what this book is written. I'm not saying that we don't experience types of fear. We do. This is why this book is written. Okay, so the writer sort of present here that Jesus is better. So don't turn away from him. Don't go back to the old sacrificial system. Don't go back to your traditions. Oh, there you go. Don't go back. Because Jesus is better. And what you are going to receive, as he talks about Abraham, Abraham went on a promise. Abraham was like, God was like, hey, Abraham, I need you to leave your family. I need you to leave your friend. I need you to leave what you already have. And I'm going to go to this land that you're just going to go. So Abraham obeys. Because Abraham recognized that this is the word of God. So the high priest, the responsibility of the high priest in the Old Testament, were once a year, they were to enter the most holy of holy place to present itself as mediator between the sin of the people and God, to present an offering to the Lord. And they could only go there for once a year. They were the central plea. It was, how can we go into the presence of God? And so that's what the high priest will do. Throughout the year, they will do a lot of sacrifices, but only once a year could they go in into the most holy of holy. The tabernacle had three layers, and so there was the outer court, the inner court, and then the holy of holy. And they could only go there once a year. And so right there, that shows that the system that was put in place was not the best system. It was a shadow. It was veil. It was not what it was meant to be. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, right, they had a relationship with God. They walked with God in the cool of the day. But when sin entered the world, now that special connection, that special tie, that community that they were supposed to experience with God was gone. But the Lord God, who loves us and cares for us, he chose a nation and decided to put together a system that allows them to still enjoy fellowship, that points to a day in which a final sacrifice is going to be made, and now we are recipients of that, and now we will be able to have a relationship with God. That ceremonial system was called the Day of Atonement. There was only done once a year. And the way they had to do it is that the priests, they had a tie around their waist, because if they did not follow step by step the instructions of how to approach the throne of grace, they could die. And so they had to follow everything exactly as they should. So that rather shows that the old sacrificial system, that the priest really was not the main thing. That it was something that was pointing to the greater high priest. So that was the responsibility of the high priest, to go before the presence of God, to make atonement for our sins. But they needed to do that every single year. So that right there, that points that it was not what it was supposed to be. We're going to go back to the second part of verse 14, and later, that talks about the Son of God. Just let us hold fast to our profession of faith. But for right now, I want us to see that the old sacrificial system was a veil pointing to the greatest sacrifice that was meant to come. So let's look at verse 14. It says, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So Jesus is the greater high priest. Jesus is the greater high priest. Why is Jesus the greater high priest? Why is Jesus better and greater? Unlike Aaron or any other priest in the order, Jesus is the greater high priest because he came to earth. He presented himself as the living sacrifice, as the final atonement for our sin.
You guys know that nowadays we don't do no sacrifices. We're not killing sheep and goats and pigeons. We're not doing none of that. Because Jesus is the final sacrifice who made atonement for our sins. Because of the death of Jesus Christ in the cross, now we have a relationship with God. But not only that, he did not remain dead. He was resurrected. And now he's sitting in the throne. He's sitting there, and then he's a mediator between us and God. Not as God is there as an angry father, and Jesus said, it's not like that. Well, he's mediating for us because he lived in this world and he understands the circumstances and situations that we experience because he went through them. So the reason why Jesus is the greater high priest is because, one, he is the ultimate sacrifice. He paid. He died for our sin. And second, he was resurrected. And because he's resurrected, he's in the throne of grace. The old priests, they died. And they remained dead. They did not come back to life. But Jesus, the great high priest, because he paid the penalty for our sin. And now, he's mediating between us and God. And so this is why Jesus is better. Better than Aaron and Moses and any of the high priests who came before him. And so, and this is why we are able to draw near to him. Because Jesus is there interceding for us. And so, this is a quote that I read from Matthew 2. He's a commentator of the Bible. And it says this, "By his having passed into the heavens, the high priest of the law, once a year, went out to the people's sight within the veil into the holy of all, where we were the sacred signals for the presence of God. But Christ once and for all passed into the heavens to take the government of all upon him, to send his spirit to prepare a place for his people and make intercession for them. Christ executed one part of his priesthood on earth in dying for us, the other he executed in heaven by pleading the cause and presenting the offering of his people." That is, passed into the heavens, he has fulfilled this type and entered into the holy of holies in heaven, taking possession of God's rest and purchasing an entrance for us into it. And this after removal of the curse, sanctification of the divine justice, satisfaction of the divine justice for our sin, victory over all enemies that will oppose his or our enemies, by him as sin, wrath, death, the devil, and keeping possession of his rest for us. So Jesus accomplished everything for us. In the past, only the high priest were able to enter into the presence of God. But because Jesus Christ accomplished everything for us, now we can go into the presence of God. Anytime that we pray, anytime that we bow our head, we are entering into the holiest of holies. We are entering into the presence of God. That at one point, it was not possible. That at one point we do not plead our cause with the Lord. We cannot make our confession. We cannot make our repentance. We cannot do anything. We had to go through so much. We still go through so much, but that's more personal. Now that we go through the Son, and through Him, we can have a relationship with Him. Let's say that you have a complaint about the current state of our country. And the only person that you can have a conversation is with the president of the United States of America. How many hoops, how many lies we have to go through to hopefully a message go to him? And to hopefully see him answer our request. To hopefully see him answer our plea. That is not the case. We can't do that. But when it comes to God, we have access to Him because Jesus is the great high priest.
And Jesus made it possible for us to go to him. We don't need nothing else. But the fact that we are able to go to God to pray is the greatest gift that we have received.
Amen.
It's the greatest thing that we have. So Jesus is the great high priest. Not only is Jesus the greater high priest, he's not a priest that is not who's sitting in the throne and just looking down on us and that is not sympathized. Why are you going through that again? I went through that. I overcame it. You should be able to do the same thing too. And this is where I struggle. This is where I'm not very sympathetic. Because the way I grew up, if I messed up in something, if I failed in something, I had no one that would come to me and say, hey, it's going to be okay. You'll be able to overcome it. The way that my father raised me, he was not really involved. The way that my dad was involved in my life, all he knew was like, hey, here's your food, here's what you need to go to school, that's it. If you want to earn something, you got to work. If you got hurt, I didn't have nobody to cry to. And the way that, in the culture that I was surrounded, the culture that I live, showing weakness was not a good sign. Your friends will bully you. Your friends will make fun of you. You're a man. I'm 12 years old. I'm hurt. I'm crying. But you're not allowed to show weakness. It's that very weakness that you show, your own friend will turn it against you. And so it becomes a vicious cycle. That now you see a 6-year-old kid, 7-year-old kid crying, he plays soccer, he gets kicked on the net, he's hurt, he's broken. Figure it out, get out, just don't continue to play. That's how it is. It's, you gotta be tough. If you're not tough in our culture, you're not going to survive. And so that's how I grow up. If I see somebody getting hurt in people's soccer, you'll be all right, get out. And a lot of times when I coach soccer, I have to remind myself of that hey, you should go and check with them, right? They play soccer. For me, it's like, if you get kicked, get up, you'll be all right. And sometimes they like 5 seconds, to like, oh, let me check with them, right? So my default setting is not to right away go and assist and help. My default setting is like, man, stop being weak. Stop crying. Stop being a baby. That's my default setting. Because that's how I grew up. And so I turn to this passage and I just, because I'm hard on myself. I have a high expectation for how I perform when I'm preaching, when I'm coaching. As a father, I have a high expectation of myself. And whenever I feel that I fail at that, I take it to heart. And then I read this passage and said, wow, Jesus understands. Jesus understands. So we don't have a high priest who's looking down on us and saying, stop being weak. I went through a greater suffering than you did. You know, you might be feeling a pain of 2, but I went through the pain of infinite. That's my mindset. Okay, Jesus would not sympathize with me. You went through greater pain than I did. But yet it's not like that. So I went through what you went through. So I do understand what you're going through. That's why I came. That's why I did the things that I do. That's when I went through something. So this is the high priest who understands our weaknesses. He's not looking down on us and saying, how could you fall to that sin again? How can you doubt me? How can you be fearful? How can you not share the word of God with me? How can you not stand up for me? He's not looking down at us in that sense. If you are like me, often that's what I think. Often whenever I fail to live up to the word of God and not act. Let's say there was an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody and I missed it. Oh, man, Jesus is mad at me.
But when I fall into a sin, he said, oh, but he's mad at me again. How many times have we got to situations in our life where we have doubted and we think, oh man, Jesus is not going to forgive me. Oh, I repented of this, I did it again. I failed through that. That is not the high priest that we serve. The high priest that we serve understands our weaknesses and he invites us to come to him. So point one was the priestly, what was the early priesthood? Point two was why Jesus did great high priest. He went, paid the penalty for our sin, he seated in the throne, and now he has made it possible for us to have a relationship with God. Point three is the priest who understands our weaknesses. Verse 15 says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. In that, so I was reading this passage, I was thinking, what is the best way for us to see that Jesus understands? And even to tell my own heart that Jesus understands what I'm going through or what I'm going through. He understands. The beautiful thing is that we can look into the Bible and see that things that have been written that share with us what Jesus went through. And a lot of us are familiar with this passage. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 to 7. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he moved before him like a young plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and as one for whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he abhorred our affliction, borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wound we have been healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. You see, the Old Testament spoke about the kind of life that Jesus would experience while he was in earth. The very things that he struggled, the very pain, suffering, sorrow, fear, all of those things that we experience in our life, that we go through on a daily, day-to-day basis, Jesus experienced that. Jesus went through that. Not only did he work through that, not only did he experience that, but he also took our suffering, our pains, our sorrows, our discomfort. He took it upon himself. So the things that you're experiencing in your life right now, he knows them. Because he made it his. That was the only way that we could have a relationship with God. He took our sin. He took our pains. He took our sorrow. So the things that we are going through in our life now, they are momentary afflictions that Jesus understands. There are things that he's using it for our own good also. So we know that in James, that he talks about that, counted all joy, my brothers, when we trust in his life.
For we know that the intensity of our faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance have its full effect, that we may be complete, lacking in nothing. Jesus is a great high priest that understands our weaknesses because he went through them infinitely. He took upon himself the very discomfort and pains that we are going through. This is what Isaiah is describing. So we do not have an unapproachable high priest. We have a high priest who's near, who's close, who is personal, to the point that he experienced everything that we have experienced. So he understands, my brothers and sisters in Christ, but our sorrows, whatever doubts and pain, he sympathizes with all of us. He sympathizes with the things that we are going through. But guess what? He was the sinless high priest. He was the sinless high priest. But one in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So why is that important? Why is it important that Jesus is the sinless high priest? It is important because if Jesus sinned, there it is no atonement for our sins. There is no way for us to have a relationship with God. There is no way for us to approach the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace in the time of need. There is no heaven. There is nothing. So Jesus had to be sinless. It is also important because just as Jesus takes our sin and is sinless, that means that he overcame the world. It is not in our own strength that we overcome our weaknesses. It is not in our own strength that we overcome this world. When we go before the throne of God, it's not going to be based on how well you live your life. It's not going to be based on how much you did not sin, or how well you evangelize, or how well you treat your wife and your husband. All those things are important, but that's not going to be your merit. Your merit is not going to be based upon what you have done. Your merit is going to be in Jesus, the sinless one, who was tempted in every respect, who understands our weaknesses, but our merit is going to be in the fact that he was tempted in all respect, and yet he was without sin. That's our merit. That's how we're able to approach the throne of grace. That's how we're able to go to God. That's how we'll enter heaven. Nothing that we have done. It's everything that he has done. That's why he has to be sinless. It is in his merit that we now have a relationship with God. And it is in his merit that we are going to be in heaven rejoicing and enjoying him. So Jesus understands our weakness. He's not a priest that is afar. He's not a priest that only can mediate for us once a year, or once a month, once a day. No. Every moment, every second, he's there. Every millisecond, he's there. He's there for each one of us. He's the sinless high priest that no matter how far we have gone, how far we have turned, this is not our merit. This is when Jesus is being crucified, you know, we have the two other guys. And one of them turns to Jesus, when you remember me, when you're in paradise. And Jesus responds to him, in this very moment, you will be with me in heaven. Do you see what happened there? This guy was a criminal. He was put in the cross because he was a criminal. He lived his life devoted to crime. The society got tired of it, and the only way that we can stop this man is by ending his life. So he makes a profession of faith. while dying, in that very moment, Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. It's because Jesus was sinless. It's because Jesus accomplished the work that none of us can accomplish. None of us can. A lot of times, you know, I was just having a conversation with my wife this morning. In the household task, we feel the weight of how much responsibility we put on our shoulders. Because we want to honor God. We want to do right by God. We want to do right by our spouses. We want to do right by our children and grandchildren. We want to do right by our co-workers. We want to do right by everybody. It is a good thing. It is a good thing for us to work hard to do everything for the glory of God. But at times we lose sight, at times we lose focus on why we're doing the things that we are doing. At times we get caught, well, I'm just doing it because I want to please my boss and please my spouse. And we get caught and we still feel a sense of heavy responsibility. And then we stop communing with God. We fail to recognize that the things that we are doing is for the glory of God alone. And then we must drink from Him because He is the source of our strength. He is the source that empowers us to push forward and do our ministry in whatever area of life that the Lord has called us to do so. So we stop losing focus. Let us remember why we do the things that we are doing. We do this to bring glory to God. That's what we're doing it for. Not to earn anything. We are ready and receive everything that we can have in Christ Jesus. We just need to possess it. We just need to act in faith in what has been given to us. And not seek to earn, not seek to bring about something that we cannot muster in our own strength. So when we find ourselves thinking, I must do this in my own strength, no. It is not. It is in the strength of God. He has accomplished everything. He's the sinless one. So let us drink from spring of living water and renew our strength and continue to press on because Jesus understands the season we are going through. Now, I want to talk about a topic that is very related to this. Because I don't know if you are familiar with this term. This is called a term, Christian deconstructionism. If you're not familiar with that term, well, I'll show you. So the idea of Christian deconstructionism is this idea of individuals who have grown in the faith, who have made a profession of faith, who have trusted in Jesus Christ, who have served for years, and then they start to question things about the faith, question things about the upbringing, question things about God, and eventually they say, you know what, this is not what I thought it was going to be. They completely turn away from the faith, from the traditional way of how we live our Christian life, because they think that there's something better. And the truth of the matter is, it's not better. It's not. This is what the writer of Hebrews was trying to warn his people. This is what verse 14 is saying. It's hold on to your confession of faith. Hold on. Look at the champions. They did not receive what I promised to them, but yet they continued to press on because they were looking for a greater city. Not an earthly city. And this is what's happening in that circle. They have a picture, an idea of what Christianity was supposed to be in here on earth. But when we look at the scripture, Christianity, the Bible does not promise that everything is going to be kumbaya, my Lord, you know, or hakuna matata. It's not what the faith talks about. Do we have moments of peace? 100%. Do we have moments of enjoyment? Yes, we do. But truly, the walk is a difficult one. The walk is hard. But we have to keep our eyes focused upon the future. So, don't turn away because you don't like how the church is going, or you don't like how the culture is going. No, look at Jesus. Look at him. Keep your eyes focused on him. He understands. He knows. So look that away from me. We all struggle, brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have moments of doubt within our life. But the throne of grace is there to reassure us that what we're doing is not in vain. In my last point, the priest who leads us where we are and helps us in our times of need. Verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the times of need. Our confidence comes because of the work of Jesus Christ has done. Filthy, guilty, and stained, for our adoption as sons of God and Jesus as mediator, makes it possible for us to go before him to receive mercy and grace. Why mercy and grace? Well, mercy because we do sin. We do fall short of the glory of God. We do mess up. In that time, we need mercy. We don't need wrath and fury. The Lord, what he promised is that we will receive mercy on what kind of need. And why grace? Why grace? Grace so that we can recuperate and continue to pursue and continue to move forward in this walk, in this difficult walk that we have as Christians. Mercy and grace are things we want. Mercy to pardon all of our sin. Grace to purify our soul. Thank you very much. Excuse me. In the midst of life struggles, as you navigate the complexity of existence, Hebrews 4:16 encourages us to approach the throne of grace with unwavering confidence. In those moments of when pain seems overwhelming, Jesus stands as the obedience of solace, offering a comforting presence that surpasses all understanding. As you grapple with the challenges of suffering, turn your gaze to the enduring strength find in the arms of Christ. His love transcends trials, becoming a pillar of support that sustains you to the darkest hour. When anxiety threatens to consume your peace, remember that Jesus provides a refuge and a sanctuary of tranquility where his calming presence surpasses the storms within. Amidst the tapestry of life intricacy, Hebrews 4:16 echoes in timeless truth. Jesus is there. Better than the weight of struggles, better than the death of our pain, better than the grief of anxiety. Boldly draw to him. For in every phase of existence, he is the source of grace, redemption, and unwavering love. So, draw near to God. Draw near to him. You are able to draw near to him boldly. Again, not with your merits, but because he's seated on the throne of God, interceding for us, knowing and knows our pain. That's what we draw near to him. That's why he's such a great high priest. He understands what we go through, the pain, the sorrows, the suffering. If you're here thinking that Jesus is not better, that I've tried this Christian walk, I've tried this Christian faith, and it's not for me. It's not for me. Believe me, not to be wrong. Continue to draw to him. With your doubts, nobody's saying that you cannot doubt in your walk. But let your doubt present it to Jesus.
Don't try to resolve it in your own mind, because it's not going to work. But resolve with Scripture, resolve with the evidence that has been presented in the Word of God. Resolve it by looking at Him and allow Him to be the one who answers. That's why Jesus is the mediator. That's why Jesus said, come boldly to me. Whatever needs, whatever difficulties, whatever it is, come to me. I have the answer. But the problem is we stop going to Him because we stop believing. We stop. No, we just go to Him. So I'm inviting you to continue to see Jesus as that. It's inviting you to come to Him. And He will provide the help in times of need. Because He knows our struggles. He knows our suffering. He knows the pain that we're experiencing in our life. So go to Him. And I know it's not easy. I mean, I'll tell you how many times. And even last night, you know, I like to win. I like to, you know, I've coached for the past 3 years. And I have one team, my first team that I started coaching. One of my most talented team, and every year we finish second. I mean, this is 3 years in a row that we finish second in the league, finish second in the tournament. And man, at the end of this game, we tied the game, but we needed some older results from another team. They needed to lose, they didn't lose. So when I went to the game, we already had second place locked in. And I got hurt. I'm like, yeah. Lord, this is tough. I didn't want it to play. I didn't want it to serve my wife. I didn't want it to serve my child. I didn't want it to do my evening devotion. I just wanted to wallow and cry. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do. So I'm not saying that in moments in time when we are down, when we are sorrowful, when we feel a little bit down, that it is easy to go through the throne of grace. It is not. Sometimes it's very difficult. But that is the very thing that we need to do. That is the very thing that we need to do. Because He will provide that for me. And I did. I was honest with Him. I said, Lord, I'm over it. Do you really care that we win the championship? And then Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 came to mind. Rejoice in the Lord always. I ask you, why do we rejoice in the Lord always? James came to mind, for we know that the testing of your faith. So I started, there's a purpose. So I finished the night rejoicing, feeling better. Because the Lord is doing something. Everything that we are going through, the Lord is doing something. So to conclude, The old sacrificial system is not enough. It's not enough. So the Lord, our God, provided a great high priest who paid for the penalty of our sin and now seated in the throne, making intercession for us. And this great high priest, he went through the pains, difficulties in the flesh that we go through, but he also took the pains and suffering that we go through. He was sinless. And because he's sinless, in his merit, we are able to go boldly to his throne. Not in our merit. Not in our own. Because if you go on your own, you will never know. You know that. But in the merit of Jesus, go boldly to the throne of grace, because he has accomplished everything for you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the greater high priest. That you went into the holiest of holy, made atonement, provided the ultimate sacrifice so that we may have a relationship with you. You went through the pains, sorrows, the difficulties that we experienced in our day-to-day life. And also you took ours, but yet you were sinless. So that in your merit, in your power, we come holy to your throne, Lord, to receive the mercy and the grace that we need in our times of need. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you are the one who spoke into our hearts. And you bring about the change that we need and the strength that we need to continue to press on, to continue to move forward. Help us, O God, to be faithful to you and trust in you is an evening word and not turn away, Lord, because you are better. Even when we doubt, let us go to you because you have the answer. Mm-hmm. It is in the name of your son Jesus Christ that I ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen.